Well, a group of students at Harvard once tried to fool Agassiz. He was the famous professor of zoology. So what they did was, and you kids, especially you young men in this room are going to love this one. What these students did was they took a bunch of parts from a number of different bugs, and very skillfully they put those parts from all these different bugs together in order to create a creation that would baffle their professor. So then what happened is on the chosen day, they took this little thing that they had created and they put it on the desk of their professor, waiting for him to respond, waiting for him to react. Well, the professors began to inspect with great care what the students had put together, what they'd placed on his desk. They thought that they had him. Finally, Professor Agassiz straightened up. He said, "Students, I've identified it." And the students were just all, they were so excited, man. They thought, man, we got this guy. We have got him. There is no way he's going to trip up right now, and we're going to all have a ball with this one. It's going to be so much fun. And so Agassiz, the professor, responded, "This is what it is. This, my students, is a humbug." Jesus, you're going to see where I'm going with this here in a little bit. Jesus tells us that Christians should be able to detect the counterfeit, what Professor Agassiz calls a humbug. Christians should be able to detect false prophets and false teachers. But that means that inspection is required. That's the title of the sermon this morning. Inspection is required. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We are in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We have been in the Sermon on the Mount since September, the second weekend of September. We are going through Jesus' sermon line by line, word by word, in order to learn how to live upside down. Because the ways of this world are 180 degrees different than the ways of God. And in this sermon, Jesus is bringing us back into agreement with God's way of thinking and living. So Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. So do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." By their fruit, you will recognize them. In the 21st century, we are overloaded with information. They call it what? Information overload. It's information overload. And there's all kinds of stuff that we can find out there in the 21st century. Some of it's good and some of it's kind of dangerous, not so good. By the way, just a side note, I didn't even plan on saying this, but be very careful if you're looking for how to live healthy lives. There's a lot of good stuff online. There's a lot of crazy, dangerous stuff out there. I don't know. That's just extra credit. Take it for what it's worth. Maybe somebody need to hear that. The same is true, though, for Christians. I mean, there's all kinds of teaching that we have access to today. I mean, we can listen to just about anything. And some of it is really, really good. And some of it is really dangerous. Many Christians will blindly walk into Christian bookstores or and thinking everything's safe, they'll go out and they'll just start listening to podcasts and kind of surfing the web, looking for different kind of teaching and download things and play things, watch YouTube videos of different teachers. They'll find something on Facebook, which, anyway, there's crazy stuff on Facebook. They'll watch a preacher on Christian television and believe everything he says is true. I mean, after all, the guy's got a big church. I mean, do you see how big that church is? And I mean, everybody knows his name. He makes me feel good, so it's got to be good stuff. So I'm gonna keep taking that stuff in and letting it influence me. I can also think the same way about what we listen to on the radio for as far as Christian music goes. I mean, everything that we take in is gonna influence us. Everything we listen to, whether it's a preaching, a teaching, a blog, whether it's a book that we read, whether it's a song that we listen to on the radio that's on a Christian radio station, it all has a message and it all is going to affect what we believe and ultimately how we live our lives and interact with God. So what we take in matters is really the point. It matters in our lives. And Jesus tells us, therefore, to watch out for false prophets in verse 15. He says that there are those out there that appear harmless and they appear safe, even polished and successful, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They're dangerous. The situation of false teachers and things that the church was hearing that wasn't really healthy was happening back in the day here when Jesus preached this message. But it's also happening in our world today too. It's very real. However, we don't need to be afraid about it. We don't need to go over the top. We don't need to overreact to all this stuff. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit, too, this morning. The Apostle Paul warned, just like Jesus did on several occasions, about the importance of us inspecting and being aware of what we are taking in. He said this to the elders in Ephesus. He said in Acts 20, he said, "Keep watch, because savage wolves will come in among you and not spare the flock. Men will arise and distort the truth, so be on your guard." To the church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He wrote about false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. To his disciple, Timothy, to the young Timothy, Paul warns in 1 Timothy 4 that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. And then there's other New Testament teachers and other New Testament passages that also warn of this. We see Peter talking about the rise of false teachers in 2 Peter 2. He says, "There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." Apostle John calls for people to test the spirits. In Jude, he writes about some who've already come. In Jude 3 and 4, he says, "Certain men have secretly slipped in among you. They're godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." Anyway, this stuff's out there. It's real. And Jesus wants us to be aware of it and to make sure that we are protecting ourselves. So we can identify false prophets. How? Inspection is required. You know, a lot of times we just like to go through life and pretend things are just going to all work out and we don't need to worry about anything and God's going to take care of it. And yeah, he does take care of it. And so he's given us a brain. He's given us the ability to research things. He's given us one another to help one another, to encourage one another. And so we need to steward things in our lives, including stewarding what we're taking in and what we're allowing to influence us. So inspection is required. We're going to look at a couple ways that we need to inspect and how it's required. The first one is this, is we need to inspect the fruit of their life. Inspect the fruit of the lives of those that we're allowing to influence us. Through teaching and writing and things such as that, even through worship, we need to inspect the fruit of their lives. Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, we just read it, we can know them by their fruit. What is their fruit? It's their character, the content of their character, the way that they are living their lives, the results that they are seeing and producing out of their lives. That's the fruit of somebody's life. It's who they really are and how they really live and what's really coming out of them, what's really resulting from their lives. What's truly in a man's heart is always going to come out at some point. Sometimes it takes a while, but what's really in there is ultimately going to come out. In Mark 7, verses 21 through 23, we read about this concept and precept and truth that from the heart proceeds any sin that may be there. It's going to come out. Going to come out. And so, given time, those that are false teachers and prophets are ultimately exposed. Those that are maybe in it for the wrong reasons, it's going to be exposed. Those that are just talking the talk but not walking the walk, and if you're just talking the talk and not walking the walk, man, you can say whatever you want to say. You can say whatever you want to say for whatever reason you want to. So ultimately, false teachers and false prophets, as talked about in God's Word that we just read, are exposed. A few ways that we can figure out and see that they're exposed. One of them is greediness. They're often exposed by their greediness, their lavish lifestyles. Storing up treasures on earth. We just read that. Jesus was talking about where are you going to store up your treasure? Where are you putting your life, your time, your effort? What's important to you? So that's one of the ways we can identify the fruit of our lives is where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And so that's one way that we can examine or inspect the lives of those that we're allowing to influence us. Because false teachers are going to be exposed by their greediness, also by their immorality. Is the fruit of their life, is their adultery and divorce and ongoing sin of immorality that's popping up in their life? Is this something that's going on? Is this something that's showing itself in their life? If so, there's a disconnect. There's an issue there that we need to be aware of. Also, their lust for power. What are they in it for? Are they in it to glorify God and to lift Him up or building religious empires? Are they looking to build the kingdom of God or build up their own kingdom? And also, it's not simply about what they say in their books. It's not simply about how many people are healed at their meetings. But what does their life really reflect today? What's their life reflect today? I want to kind of highlight today in that also. What's their life reflect today? Not 20 years ago, not even 5 years ago, but what's it reflect today? Who are they today? We all were different people in the past. We've all been redeemed. We've all done silly things, even lived certain ways in the past, and even believed certain things in the past that we don't believe today. Who are they today? What does their life reflect today? What's the fruit of their life right now? Is it in agreement and in alignment with the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ? So kind of continuing on this topic, and I will let you know too, this week, man, this is one of those weeks where I'm just like, really, I got to preach this? Well, yeah, Eric, it's the next thing I said in my sermon. And so I got to preach this. All right. Okay. Just saying, just being open with you. That's kind of who I am. If you've been around a little while, you know, I'll just tell you like it is. If you were in Wednesday night prayer, you would have actually been able to hear your pastor confessing a sin and asking for y'all to keep me accountable. Now, just now that I've opened up that can of worms, I got to let you know what it was. I've had this lust for diet sodas most of my life. I grew up in a house where we had diet sodas around, so I kind of acquired a taste for diet sodas. And so I have this lust for diet sodas, and I have just had conviction over the past year or more, really more than that, and I've done this before, but I'm going to do it now for real, and to get away from it. I just feel like the Lord's saying, Eric, it's not healthy, it's not right, get away from it. You don't need this in your life. You know, there's a lot of other things you say no to, right? You can say no to this too. It's okay. It's just diet soda. It's just a bunch of fake stuff anyway. Anyway, that was the sin I confessed on Wednesday night and that I'm walking in victory on right now. That free of diet sodas, praise God. Woo! Amen. Anyway, back to the message, back to Matthew chapter 7, back to the message that Jesus has for us. The message that Jesus has for us. Just would like for you to think about your life a little bit. And you know, God's Word always rocks the boat in our lives and always makes us go, oh man, really? I got to actually change something or do something different or do something I haven't been doing. I mean, it always does that. So as I go forward with this, you might be going, man, that just sounds too hard. That sounds too difficult. Okay, whatever, pray. Seek the Lord. Read these words of Jesus again and just pray. Ask the Lord to guide you in all of this. Because here's the deal. I want you to think about this. When you read a book that you found on the shelf of a Christian bookstore, when you read something that maybe a friend has given you, said, oh, you got to read this, man. This is awesome stuff. You got to read this. Do you really know the author? Do you really know who you're allowing to influence your life? Because that's what's about to happen. You're about to be influenced. Do you know them? Same thing about a teacher on TV or on the radio. on a podcast, online, anywhere? Do you know his or her life? Do you know what kind of fruit that person is really bearing in their life? How is their marriage? How are their children? It's all fruit. This is the fruit of somebody's life. Are people that person's discipling, are they demonstrating God's love? Are they walking in demonstrating sanctification in their lives? Are they loving more and sinning less? Maybe it's a pastor. They pastor a church. Are the people, you know, loving more and sinning less in their lives? Is there growth? Is there spiritual maturity that is coming out of that person's ministry and out of their life even personally? Doctrinally, do you know where that person's really coming from? You're about ready to read a 242-page book where they're going to influence your life. Do you know where they're coming from doctrinally? Do you know? Do they have some kind of agenda? And this is kind of part of that agenda. I don't know. I'm not trying to throw a bunch of fear out there. I'm just saying Jesus says that we need to inspect, that we need to understand the fruit. We need to know where people are coming from. Paul said the same thing. Paul would go in and he would minister, and all of these other prophets and evangelists and apostles, quote unquote apostles, would be coming through, and they'd be preaching all kinds of stuff, and they'd just kind of pop in with the latest, greatest, man, check this out, get everybody all riled up about this particular truth. Quote unquote truth, small t, not capital T, little truth, that they'd come in and get everybody whooped up. The church would get all excited about it, start running that direction. And Paul would say, what are you doing? You know me. I'm Paul, the guy who spent months, maybe even years with you, teaching you, living with you. This guy just popped in, spoke this stuff, and you're like jumping on his train and following what he's doing. He said, be careful. And so we got to be the same way. Just because it's the 21st century and we've got the internet out there and access to all this stuff. And like I said, a lot of it's really, really good. But there's that stuff out there that you got to be careful with. Do you know how the person spends their money? Are they investing back in the kingdom of God? Are they really living out what they're teaching? Is the person accountable to others? These are all things that we really, based on Jesus' exhortation to us about examining and inspecting the fruit of those people's lives who we allow to influence us, this would be how we respond to Jesus. These are things that we should be considering, definitely considering. If we choose to receive from a teacher, an author, or whatever, a steady diet, and I use that on purpose, a steady diet, and allow them to truly influence our lives, then we have to be willing. I would even say, based on what Jesus is saying here, and based on the other passage we just read from the other apostles, from the apostles Paul and Peter and John and even the book of Jude, that we have an obligation, actually, to inspect their lives, to inspect the fruit of those that are influencing us. Have we done our homework? Have we talked to people who know them? Let me give you an example of this. I really respect Pastor Robert Morris. He's out of Dallas, Texas, and he pastors Gateway Church. I also respect Jimmy Evans, who's also out of that same ministry. In fact, we used his material for the marriage conference here. Now, I've met both of those men, handshake, hi. They probably would recognize my face just because, you know, it's just all that, you know what I'm saying? But but they might recognize my face, but that's probably about it. But I tell you what, I have friends who know them personally. I have friends who are pastors on staff at that church and who work with them day in, day out, week in, week out, who know their lives. And so I can ask Todd, I can ask Byron, and I have, you know, these guys are the real deal, man. Are they really like that in real life? Yeah, this is really who they are. So I've examined the fruit of their lives, even though I haven't talked to them and I don't, you know, hang out in their family room, you know, week in and week out. I've done some due diligence to follow what Christ is saying, what the Word of God is saying, to examine, to inspect their lives so that I know who I'm allowing to influence me and who I'm allowing to influence my church family also. These things are important. It might seem impossible in the internet age, but it isn't impossible. You guys have probably heard of that concept of 6 degrees of separation. Have you heard of that? Which basically means that everyone is connected to everyone else in the world within 6 different relationships with one another. Somebody in Zimbabwe, you can relate to them within 6 different relationships. You will be connected to that person. It seems impossible, but they've done all kinds of studies and they've shown this to be true, just how connected this very large world really is. And so my point is this, is there are ways, if we care enough to do some inspection and to do some examining, we can talk to some people who know some people and start to put it together. And I recommend that approach versus just going out and Googling somebody. You Google somebody online and you're going to find every and anything. Every single minister, every single large ministry out there, every single church has stuff that has been plastered all over the internet about them, good, bad, and ugly, no matter what. It's all out there. And so you're going to examine, you're going to do an inspection, but whose word are you taking at that point? Do you know the person you're going to allow to influence whether or not you're going to listen to this person or not? You hear what I'm saying? So it takes a little more work, but is it worth it? Is it worth examining? Is it worth inspecting? Is it worth talking to other people before we just allow people, others out there to influence us? Jesus is saying, yeah, it's important. Be careful, watch out. Inspection is required because by their fruit, you will recognize them. This is a point I want to make, is why I believe the local church is so important. In fact, Jesus set it up that way for us to do life together locally in real flesh-to-flesh, face-to-face kind of relationships. That's how the church was launched. Even as they were scattered in the diaspora and the church scattered because of the persecution, they created local fellowships where they would do life together. And they would watch out for one another. They would care for one another. They were in community. They were in relationship. And there was accountability in those local fellowships, those local church families. It's very important. And in our information age, I know that there are some out there that think, well, I go to church because I watch this certain pastor on television, or I go out and I get this podcast and I sit at home and I take in all of these different teachers and everything. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not saying it's even bad, but I do believe based on God's word and based on what I have seen that it can be dangerous. That it can be a dangerous thing to live on an island and just feel like you're going to be the one soul filter for how you're going to allow people to influence you and not live in community. It's just a dangerous thing to be alone. That's the bottom line. We're celebrating Memorial Day. Soldiers understand that. It's dangerous to be alone in the middle of a war. We're in the middle of a war. We have an enemy. We have an enemy who wants to rob, kill, and destroy you. And he's actually very good at it, but he never wins when he comes against people who are in agreement and alignment with God and with his word. He doesn't win. And one of the things God says is, hey, I put you in community. I put you in relationship on purpose. It's important. Don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Hebrews 10, all of these things. There's all purpose to it. There's reason for it. Even this message that Jesus has for us today, examine and inspect. There's reason and there's purpose. It's because God loves us and he has a plan for your life to give you hope and a future, to prosper you, to have you go from glory to glory, to have you have intimate, real relationship with you, to be alive in him, really alive in him. And when we come into agreement with God's way of doing that, it all happens. So the first way we identify false teachers is to inspect the fruit of their lives. The second way we identify them is inspect the fruit of their teaching. What are they saying? What are false teachers saying? To understand this, I want us just to examine very quickly some different methods that false teachers use to kind of to mess around with the people of God. All right? That they work secretly. And we find that in 2 Peter 2:1. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Another way is they appeal to covetousness, to greed. It's another thing that we see as we're examining the fruit of their teaching. 2 Peter 2:3, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they've made up. In other words, they'll tickle your ears, tell you things that you want to hear in order to get you on board. Health and wealth, a successful life, your great life now, a relationship with Christ without obedience. You know, none of that, just kind of, you know, it all works out in the end, man. Just say a prayer and it's all good. And you're going to get super rich and get to drive what you want to drive. You know what I'm saying. Sometimes they'll also cross the line into to kind of just being self-help gurus versus actually preachers of the Word of God, where they just sprinkle their message with a little bit of the gospel you know, a little hook to kind of pull you in to say, yeah, this is the Word of God, and then they take it off into whatever direction they want to go. That's why we got to understand the fruit of their lives. Do they have agendas? What are they really wanting to do here? A lot of times they do that because, hey, if we give them what they want, they'll keep coming. If we give them what they want to hear, what they want to see, man, it's going to build what we want to build here. And you got to watch out for that. I think of the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, Jesus calls us to do something that's really not easy. I don't know, how many of you think the Great Commission is easy? Go into all the world, evangelizing, teaching people to obey all that Christ has commanded. I mean, any of that stuff easy? It's not easy. And Jesus talks about how it's going to be a hard life, how there will be persecution, there will be difficulty. That's just the reality. But hey, you don't need to worry because he's with you always. He's right there with you to the very end. He's got your back. It doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. Every single one of the apostles except for one was martyred. And the one that wasn't, John, was boiled in oil and had lived a very miserable life for much of his latter years. I mean, it was tough life. It was hard, but they were alive in Christ. They wouldn't have it any other way. And they went boldly forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ, doing the hard things. That's the gospel. That's the Christian life. And in that, they got to see miracles. They got to see people come alive. They got to see heaven. They got to see the kingdom of God come in power. They got to be involved in partnering with the God of the universe in the miracle. And wonders and glorious things. They got to truly be alive, not just be safe. A gospel of safety is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of the Bible. A gospel of comfort, a gospel of material wealth is not the gospel of the Bible. It's not the message of God's word. Now, God blesses people. He blesses us because he loves us, because he's a good daddy and he loves to give his kids good things. But you know where I'm going. You know what I'm saying. You know the word of God. Go into all the world and seek comfort. That's not the Great Commission. But too often we look for teachers that are going to tell us exactly that. Here's how to live a comfortable life right now. Get rid of these people in your life. Cut them off because they're hard people. You go align yourself with people who make you feel good, people who are gonna make you all happy. That's not the gospel. Go to the needy, the sick, the poor, the hurting, those that can't do a thing for you, those that are desperate. Go to them, help them, pour into their lives. It's going to be hard, but that's your call, and you're going to be blessed because of it. Praise God. Lay down your life. Take up your cross. Serve others. Turn the other cheek. Endure to the end. The glorious life in Christ Jesus. And it's good. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. There's so many Christians that wake up that still don't know who they are, have no purpose, because they're following teaching that's telling them it's all about them. And if you're living for yourself, you're always going to be disappointed and always going to be settling for less than. If you're living for God, all out, all in, it's awesome. Oh, yeah, it's tiring. Oh, yeah, it can be difficult, but it's incredible. It's incredible. Another way false teachers use deceptive words, it says in 2 Timothy 3, while evil men prosper, and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. A lot of times they're going to use the Word of God, I mentioned it earlier, just as proof text, just as a way to prove what they're trying to prove. And they'll pull a passage from here and pull a passage from there, a little bit from here, a little bit from there, just to prove what they want to prove in order to write a book, because they want to come up with some new thing that's never been heard of before. This is so new. And you know what? It's amazing what people can come up with. But a lot of times it's because they distort the Word of God by taking a little piece here, a little piece there, and weaving something together that's not the unadulterated Word of God. That's why at Evident Life Church, and that's why I, as a pastor, because I fear the Lord and I want to honor Him and I want to honor His Word, that's why most of the preaching that happens here is expository. We go through God's Word book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line, Because we want the full message that God has for us. We want the fullness of it. It's okay to do topical studies. And we'll do that from time to time here at Evident Life Church. But it's not the steady diet. And frankly, the main reason it's not our primary diet is because I never want to go off in a direction with some kind of other agenda other than what God has for us. And God's Word is God's Word. And you know what? I'm preaching a message right now today that if it wasn't the next passage that Jesus preached in His Sermon on the Mount, I wouldn't be preaching this today. Because it's not easy to tell people. You got to go out and examine. Do you know, because every one of us listens to different people and listens to different teaching online. And I bet you almost everyone in this room is going, I really don't know the fruit of their lives. I've never even thought about that. I really just like what they preach. And they got a big name. And my pastor is telling me, well, you got to go talk to people who know them so that you really know their life. Yeah. I probably wouldn't have preached this message if we weren't going through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It protects us. You're going to hear me talking about, too, that I'll just say it right now, that this is why it's so important that you are in God's Word and that you don't use God's Word as a little lottery. I don't know what God has for me today. I'm going to read two or three verses. Aeneas, Peter said to him. Okay, all right. That's cool. No. I encourage you, and this is just extra credit, and I'll move things around in the message here so that we end on time. But I encourage you, if you're going to study God's Word, I mean really study it, let's say you're going to read the book of Ephesians, the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. It's a great book. Obviously, they all are. It's the Word of God. I encourage you to sit and read the whole thing in one sitting before you start looking at a little verse here and a little verse there. I mean, sit and look at it. Maybe even get a study Bible that tells you kind of why the letter was written, what was going on at the time. This is all important. This is all contextual stuff. Important things that we understand what's really being said. And we're not taking a passage of Scripture that some other pastor that we listened to took out of context. And it's like, wait a minute. Anyway, they use deceptive words. We also need to take notice of their doctrine. We also can't let perceived miracles be the litmus test. Well, hey, man, it looks like there's a lot happening in that church, man. People are going down. Looks like people are being healed and all this kind of stuff. So that guy is the anointed man of God. He is the one, whatever he says, I'm taking it in. It's truth. Now, that could be the case. I'm not saying it's not the case. If somebody has a lot of healing and a move of God in their ministry, we all desire that. We want that. And that's why we pray for more of that. That's why I told you a week or two ago that I've been praying that the gift of healing would be released over people in this church fellowship right now. I'm desiring that. I'm wanting that. And I believe it's happening already in some people's lives here. I want to see God moving in power more and more. We had a testimony remembering Susan Chara's miraculous healing that happened that morning in church. I mean, beautiful things happening. However, it says in Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 and 3, prophets who perform miraculous signs or wonders and then say, let us follow other gods and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. However, with that said, we must be careful not to go on spiritual witch hunts. This is something that's been hitting me all week long as I've been in God's Word on this particular topic. Spiritual witch hunts, they're not productive. See, the enemy loves to use gossip and disunity and slander and lies and confusion to tear apart the body of Christ. And the devil loves it when Christians attack other Christians. Because then, hey, his work's done. He can move on to the next thing. Hey, I got them, slandering one another. I don't have to do anything else. And we're living in an age, a time and age, where on the internet, there's all kinds of people out there who think it's almost like a hobby to be the self-proclaimed truth keepers, to pick apart every single ministry, every single preacher, every single teacher that's out there and find anything that they can find about them, even if it's 20 years ago, and try to tie them to this, tie them to that, and create some kind of web of slander and heresy and you know, false prophets and all this kind of stuff. And they go out there because they're the truth keepers, and we're going to go out there and let everybody know why everybody else who's not me is wrong. And that's why I say you got to be careful what you're reading and what you're allowing to influence you. Do you really know that person? We got people out there holding other people accountable based on their own personal convictions, their own personal style, where they're coming from. You know what I'm saying? Like they're modern day Pharisees looking for every opportunity to throw stones and to beat other people up, other ministers up who love Jesus and who are preaching the gospel. And so I would really advocate and strongly urge that no one here in this church family ever get involved in anything like that. And it's hard sometimes. I have to fight it, going on Facebook and saying, did you just hear what so-and-so said on that interview? Oh, my goodness. It's hard not to. But when we get involved in this spiritual witch hunt stuff, we are falling right into the hands of the enemy. We're being used by him. And be very careful. Be very, very careful. I personally have convictions and beliefs. And I'm not a Calvinist, in case you didn't know that. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not some five-point Calvinist. I'm not a cessationist. As you know, this is a Spirit-filled church. I love the presence, the fullness, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Come on, God. You say you have them for the church today, and they are here, and they're effective, and they build up the body of Christ. But listen, I've got pastor friends, dear friends of mine, who are Calvinists. I love them dearly. They're not false prophets. They love Jesus, and they're teaching the Word of God. They have a different perspective than I might have on certain things. But they're not false prophets. There are those out there who shy away from the gifts of the Spirit today. They shy away from it. They're just not comfortable with it. They have different opinions on it, whether it be from experience or from how they're looking at the Word of God. I completely disagree with them, and I actually, frankly, feel sorry so many times for them. But they're not heretics. They're not false prophets. They are truly fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we need to love them. We are on the same team. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. They're bigger battles. Now, what we believe and what we practice matters because it will affect our experience and our relationship with the Lord here and now. It will. There's no doubt about it. So that's why these things are important. But we don't go throwing spiritual stones and rocks and mud at brothers and sisters who have different perspectives on some of this kind of stuff. We must be careful. No spiritual witch hunts here. So what can we do? I'm going to run through these very quickly. We must be students of the Bible. Do you really know God's Word? You got to be in the Word of God. Examine your life. How much time do you spend in God's Word versus how much time you spend ingesting other stuff? And I'm not just talking about TV. I'm talking about any stuff, even good stuff, even other Christian stuff. Is it 10% of your time in the Bible and 90% other stuff that's influencing your life? I would suggest maybe bumping up the Bible time, because that's God's Word. And it's powerful. It's effective. It's able to pierce your life. It's able to bring healing. It's able to do supernatural things in your life and through your life. Not just give you new kind of perspectives and thoughts and some really cute, you know, neat ideas about things. But I'm talking about it can do supernatural work in you and through you as you are in it. It's mysterious. Man, it's awesome. It's awesome. This is the source, is what I'm saying. This is the source. So is this your main source for life? For truth. Is this your main source? I would encourage you to let it be your main source. I didn't say your only source. I said other people can speak in your life. I mean, I'm doing it right now. You're listening to me. So you can get other teaching, but let this be your main source. It's the Word of God. Whew! It's awesome. We must know God. That's the second thing. What can we do? Since inspection is required, what can we do? We must know His Word, and we must know God. We're going to talk about that more next week. about the importance of not only knowing God, but God knowing you. It's like eternally important that be the case. And so we got to know God, not just know about God, not just what others have taught us about God, but we got to know God. We must be spirit-led people who are investing in the kingdom of God, investing in knowing God, investing in our time with God, making that sacred and important, not just kind of an add-on, not just kind of an extra credit thing, but the main thing, our time with God in His presence, so that we really do know His voice and that we will follow His voice and not that of another. Real relationship, real intimacy. So examine your life. Look at it. Because inspection is required. And one of the ways that you protect yourself is, and I was going to talk about this, I didn't have time with the counterfeit. How do you identify counterfeit? You know the real thing. You spend your time focused on the real thing so that when the fake thing comes into your life, you can identify it as fake. So when you spend your time with God, when you spend your time in His Word, in the Word of truth, in the Bible, and in His presence, and you're hearing His voice, and you're experiencing His presence, then when the fake stuff comes, you go, man, that is so fake, that is so wrong, that is so, oh, the hair is standing up on the back of my head, yeah, type stuff. You'll be able to identify that because you know the real God of the universe. You know Him. And we must remain in community is the third thing. Doing life together. Studying the Word of God together. Keeping each other accountable and safe. This is why it's important. Life groups are important. Prayer meetings together are important. Being involved in men's or women's. And you can't do it all. I'm not saying you got to be involved in every single thing. But are you connected with other brothers and sisters in your church family where you're actually processing truth together? And you're processing life with God together. Are you doing that? I encourage you to be connected in meaningful relationships in the family of God. I'm going to conclude just by saying once again, inspection is required. It's important. I also want to say, don't walk around or run around being fearful. Just run around chasing God through His Word and through time with Him. Plug in your life into the living God of the universe. Pursuing Him, being filled with Him, by Him, being influenced by His Word and by His presence. You do that, man, you don't need to worry. We're children of God, man. He loves us. He'll protect us.